This week at Hope Point.
Jesus is on the cross. Two men, one on this side, not on this side. They're all thieves. The wretched man, one curses him and says, if you're the Son of God, why don't you save yourself and save us too? The other one says, I messed up. I didn't do it right. I lived terrible. I've killed, I've done a lot of things. But Jesus, if you have mercy on me, please remember me. He's on the cross the 11th hour. Jesus, by his power, he's about to die for the world and his blood to wash away all sins. He tells him, today, not tomorrow, today, when you exit, I'll be with you in paradise.
We're so glad to have you join us for today's message. We pray that it would challenge and encourage you to applaud God, follow Christ, and live on mission. Let's listen now as our teacher speaks to us from God's holy word.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here today. God has been good. It's wonderful to be back. And as we listen to what God has for us this morning, I'm excited to be able to see what God is doing in your life. God loves you this morning. For you to be here, to wake up in the morning, you know God loves you. For your eyes to be able to open, for your feet to move, for your hands to touch, for your ears to hear, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be alive. And God loves you. No matter what you're going through, I just want you to remember God truly and wonderfully loves you all the time. So today our topic is three houses. What I want to talk to you today is a house that you live in. So in front of you, you can see my house. But the guy speaking to you lives in this house. So this is my body. But the real me lives inside here. So this is my house. The Bible sometimes calls it a tabernacle. Sometimes the Bible calls it a tent. Sometimes the Bible just calls it a house. So we have several houses here, right here. Houses are different. Mine is different. You know, my house is getting older. I think my house came into existence in 1967, so it's getting older. I'm trying to keep it going. You know, so nowadays I try to grow. I put miracle growth here. It did not grow. So the grass in my yard is not growing at all. So your house may be different. The way God has made you is different, but that's your house. So the three houses I want to talk about is a house, the original house that God made that was perfect. The house that Adam was given. God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. So that's the first house. It was perfect. It didn't have any problems. It didn't have sicknesses or pain. Nothing went wrong with that house. And then Adam had been told, Adam, don't eat the fruit. Just do whatever you want, but don't eat the fruit. You can eat anything here, Adam. This is a beautiful garden for you. You just do what I asked you to do. Somehow Adam messed up. Adam ate the fruit. God had told Adam, if you eat the fruit, you will die. It happened. He ate the fruit, and inside, Adam was disconnected with God. He died spiritually. The Bible says, and we who were dead in our transgressions. So when you're not born again, you're dead. And then he also died physically. His body began to degenerate. His body began to decay. And that's what's happening. The older you grow, the more you're becoming less and less effective with the house you live in. So that's the house you have right now. The one that Adam messed up, the infected house, the one that has disease, the one that wears out, the one that the storms of life beat against it and have issues with it, the one you're struggling with today. Some of you have instant palms. Some of you had to have some medication this morning. Some of you groaned when you woke up this morning. That's the house you have. That's the present house. There is another house we'll talk about today, and that's the house made in heaven. The house that if you're born again, you're going to get a glorified body that will never wear out. So that's what we want to talk about today. We'll begin by reading the scripture of today, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 to 10. The Bible says, for we know that if our earthly house, this house, of this tabernacle were dissolved, if this house was to die, it's headed there, it's going to die. If Jesus tarries, I'm going to die. That's a reality. I got to face. There are only two people that exist in the world, believers and unbelievers. There's no in between. Believers have trusted Jesus as a personal Savior. Non-believers have not. Those are the only two sets of people that are in the universe today. And out of those two people, we have the believer who is trusted Jesus and is saved. He's not condemned. The one who does not believe is already condemned. If this house was to fall on all of us today, and we all die, we will all exit from our houses. All of us, we will get out of the houses. The fire department will come. It will collect our houses, but we'll be gone. Now the question is, where are you going? And that's what we're going to talk about today. So the Bible says in verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, it died. If you're a believer, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Something special that God is preparing for us. Verse 2, "For in this, we groan, we're in pain, we suffer conditions, we suffer disorders, we suffer sickness, we suffer the loss of loved ones, we suffer, we go through issues, we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Verse 3, "If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." Now, you are a trinity. You have a body, a soul, and a spirit. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Verse 4, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." Verse 5, "Now he that hath wrought us, the same thing is God, who has also given us unto us the earnest of his Spirit." God has given us a taste of what's coming by giving us his Holy Spirit. Verse 6, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." You're born again, I'm born again. Right now, I live here. And because I live here, I'm not with the Lord. "For we know, we walk by faith, not by sight." Verse 8, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord." When I exit here, I'm with him instantly. So the Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. "Wherefore we labor, that whether we present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So, I've got a mango. This is not real. I was afraid if I brought a real one, I'll eat it. So, I decided to bring this one. So, just think this of a mango. We're going to use this to define what we're talking about. The outside of the mango, which is going to be the skin plus what we call the mesocarp, the one you eat, is going to be the body. Inside, there is a seed. And the seed is surrounded by a hard shell. And inside, there's life. If I throw away a mango, after a few days, this would disintegrate. It would decay. That will not. This will stay. It needs good soil, and after that, it's going to grow and produce mango. The life of the mango is in here. So this, the outside, is a body. This is a soul, and inside is a spirit. That's what we're going to use that. So let's talk about the original house. The original house that God made was perfect. No sin, no pain, no wearing out. It was just a perfect body. And he said, Adam, he breathed into him, and Adam became a living being. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 to 3. The Bible says this, Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 to 3. This is a book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God. Very heathen. So Adam in the likeness of God. And male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. So that's Adam. Perfect. Adam received the body. Adam messes up. When Adam messes up, he gets infected. The wonderful good body is dead. It's decaying. So Adam has kids. Now the kids of Adam, which is you and I, do not have that original body. We got the body from Adam. So verse 3, the Bible says, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. Not in the likeness of God, but in the likeness of Adam. After his image, not in the image of God, in the image of Adam, and called his name Seth. And that's where you are. That's the present body you have right now. It's not the original one. It's the one that you have now that you have to deal with every day. Romans 5:12, the Bible says, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When you're born, you already are infected. You are by nature an instrument of wrath. You are away. You are not taught to be sinful. You have it. So Adam gives us a broken house. A house that has problems. A house that we have to contend with. A house in which what we read today, verse 2 of the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Right now, most of you are groaning. You've been to the doctor to fix your teeth. You've been to the doctor to fix your body. You've been to the doctor because you have some issues. You are groaning. This is the house you have right now. It's wearing out. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and the body, you say, let's go to Walmart. And the body says, I'm not going. And you drag it and say, I'm not going. And it doesn't. Sometimes you wake up and you hear creakings and sounds that from the neck, from the back. You go, well, what's that? It's you. Your body's getting older. There are times I had strength. I could bend. I could do whatever I wanted. Nowadays, if I drop this mango, I'm not going to pick it up. I'll just wait until I drop several other things. Then I'll sit down and pick them up. And then I'm done for the day. It's different. We're dealing with it. Job says, Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. So you're content with what you have right now. You struggle with it. You try to make the best out of it. Sometimes your eyes don't cooperate with you. Mine are wearing out. I can see that now my windows are getting kind of shady, so I need this to help me out so I can see outside. Some of us, you can find your ears are not as good as they used to be. You need some help. So that's the body you've got. And sometimes it's psychological. Sometimes it's mental issues you're dealing with. Sometimes they're conditions or disorders. You have to contend with it in life because you've grown in this defected body. Romans chapter 8, I will just read a few verses. I will read verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for adoption to with the redemption of our body. We long for it. The whole creation longs for Jesus to come and deliver us. So that's where you are. So what happens as his body gets older? You're closer to the exit than the entrance. As you go towards the exit, what's going to happen? You're going to die. So what happens when you die? We're going to go through that now. So in verse 1, we read earlier, the scripture talks about when you die, you exit. So let's talk about that. We're going to use this a little bit to make us understand better. First of all, we talked about the three natures you have. So you've got, we're going to use this outside of a mango as, we're going to use that as your body. time has come, or something tragic happens, and this building falls on all of us, and we all die. In an instant, there are only two people coming out of here. We have believers and unbelievers. Believers are going to a different place, and unbelievers are going to a different place. So we want to follow the believer first. So something happens right now, and we all die. What happens? You exit from your house. We take this. The EMS fire department comes, collects all our houses. We take yours to the cemetery and bury it. You're not there. What happened? For the believer, immediately exit. You're received in the presence of your Lord. Immediately. You're never naked. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So he says, you wait here, son or daughter. I'm going to give you a new body. You wait there. Let's read. In the book of our text we read this morning, we read in chapter 5, verse 1, that we have a building of God. But I want us to read, Jesus is talking about it in the book of Luke 16, 22. He's talking about two people, Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus sits at the gate and suffers. The rich man is there enjoying himself. The issue is not who is rich, who is poor. The issue is one is a believer, one is not. So they all come to an end of their lives. Verse 22, book of Luke 16. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. Immediately. Out. Abraham's bosom. You stay here. Jesus is on the cross. Two men. One on this side, another on this side. They're all thieves. The wretched men. One curses him and says, if you're the son of God, why don't you save yourself and save us too? The other one says, I messed up. I didn't do it right. I lived terrible. I've killed. I've done a lot of things. But Jesus, if you do have mercy on me, please remember me. He's on the cross the 11th hour. Jesus, by his power, he's about to die for the world and his blood to wash away all sins. He tells him, today, not tomorrow, today, when you exit, I'll be with you in paradise. Verse 20, Luke 22, 23, verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be in paradise. It's an instant transition for the believer. So the believer is clothed. When we bring the bodies of our loved ones, we are saying their last respect to them. They're not there. Those are their houses. They're gone. But we pay respect to them. So what happens when this guy arrives there? He stays there and waits for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming back. We call it rapture. The word is not just the Bible. But he's coming in two parts when he's coming back. The first one, when he comes, he's coming for the saints. And he'll go with them. He will not land on earth. Trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ will rise. And then we who are alive will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We will rise and meet him in the air and go. Here, tribulation begins for 7 years. The saints are there. The salt of the earth is gone. The Spirit of God is gone. There's nothing else to protect. The world becomes into chaos, disintegration. While they're there, the saints are being judged. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. So then, we who are alive will not go before those who died before us. My father died in 2005. He loved Jesus. He's buried next to our house. If I was standing there when Jesus comes, he comes out fast and rises up. He's up there with Jesus. His body will come out. and his body will be changed. It'll be glorified. He'll be given a special body. And he comes and then meet with it. And he goes. And then me who is there, who loves Jesus, I'm turned in the twinkle of an eye. And I rise to go with him. And the Bible says we're always with the Lord. Let's read. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. The Bible says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who are dead, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For we say unto you by the word of God that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So my dead will come out first. His body changed. He rises. What happens to me? Verse 17. And then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Not here, in the air. So shall we ever be with him until he comes with the saints out of the tribulation. So that's a believer. He now has a new body. The only person with a resurrected body in heaven is Jesus. So he resurrects, he comes to disciples. The disciples are doubting. Are you really a person? Are you really a person? He says to them in Luke 24, verse 39, behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath no flesh and bones, as ye see me have. He still has the nail-pierced hands. His body is glorified. He doesn't need a door to get in. So that's what the believer gets. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible says, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that we, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We will have a glorified body like him. So we shall see him as he is. What about the non-believer? What about the non-believer? House falls on us. If you're born again, you're with the Father in heaven. You're resting. What about the one who's not born again? What about your neighbor who's not born again? If you love him, I want you to think about this. He also exists. He's separated. So we take him out. Here he is. Building has fallen on us. He exits. He doesn't know Jesus. He's not picked up by the angels. So guess where he lands? Hell. Instantly. Immediately. The guy who sat next to you. The guy you went to school with. The guy you used to work with. It's right there. When he exits, he's empty. He's naked. That's the same state that demons are in. They don't have a body. Jesus tells us a little bit about it. In the book of Matthew 12:43, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh throughout dry places, seeking us rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house, which is the body, from whence I came out. And when he's come, he findeth empty, swept, and garnished. Let's say somebody's demon-possessed here. Because demons like to dwell in bodies because they don't have flesh. So they want to dwell in something. And we pray for you, and you get delivered. But instead of you coming to Christ, you decide, I'm going to live my own life. Demons goes around, is looking for a place to be, doesn't find a place. Say, I'm going to find out if somebody's in my house. He comes back, he finds you're still there, living the same life you used to live, gets back inside. Same thing Jesus teaches us when he's casting out demons from a demon-possessed man. And Jesus comes to this man And the demons recognize Jesus and they say to him, please don't send us out. Please, please, please. He says, you've got to get out. They say, okay, can we go to the pigs? They're just looking for a flesh. He says, no, you can go to the pigs. They go to the pigs, 2,000 of them perish. Mark 5, verse 10 to 12. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were there now unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. So the non-believer is tormented, naked, but he is cognizant. He can see, he can hear, he can feel. Let's go back to Luke chapter 16 and look at what Jesus talks about the rich man. The Bible says in Luke 16, 22 to 23, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried and in hell. It's not a transition. He died, was buried, and in hell. He lift his eyes, he can see. And being tormented, he said, that's Abraham. That's Lazarus. He can see, he can feel, he can recognize. But he's in torment. But he's in hell. If you don't witness to your neighbor, that's John. John used to be my neighbor. That's Elizabeth. But there's a gap between the two of you. So, what happens then? They have to face the judgment. So, the believer has a new glorified body. He goes to his Father. Going to heaven is not determined after you die. It's determined now. Right now, you have made your decision. Right now. If you're a believer, you're going. If you're an unbeliever, you decided, I don't want it. The scripture says in the book of John, chapter 3, he that believeth on him is, not will be, but is not condemned. If you're a believer, you're not condemned. You're going. You may have some issues. You may have some problems. You may not be doing exactly what we want you to do for now. We talk to you. We encourage you. Or you talk to me. You tell me, brother, do better. But I'm going. You know why I'm going? It's not because of what I'm doing. It's because of what Jesus did. And he's so glad I'm not dependent on me. I could not trust myself for the next 3 seconds. I can't do it. But Jesus, 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 he's got me. I'm taking you home because you confessed. So let's just say we get out there. I find you parked in my parking lot. You know, this has always been my place since the church got started. And you parked your car in my parking lot. And I didn't like it. So I come with my truck and I push your car out of my place. I put mine there. So we get out this morning and we say, we're going to sort this out. And we get into a fight. And you kill me. I'm still going. You know why I'm going to heaven? Not because we fought, but because my sins were forgiven. And Jesus got me. So the believer is assured of heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The non-believer is not. They land on different judgment seats. The believer goes to the judgment seat of Christ. The believer goes to the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says in chapter 5, we read today, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is to a believer, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. The believer is going to meet a father. The non-believer is going to meet a judge. So, I get there. It says, oh, you come. Yep, I've come. All right. We're going to see if what you did was good. All right. Now, getting to heaven was by the blood of Jesus. My judgment is what I have done with the gifts God gave me. So he asked me, what did I give you? Yeah, I used to do some preaching. Okay, take your Bible. What is it you do? I sung. All right, take it. What is it you do? I was a chiropractor. Okay, take it. You ready? Yep. There's fire there. Okay, walk through it. I got all the things that God gave me. Some of you are electricians and plumbers and mothers and fathers. Whatever you've got that God has put in you. Some of you are counselors. Some of you, whatever you are, there's no secular job for you. Whatever you're doing it for the Lord. You walk with it. If I swindled people and was not faithful in my corporate profession, it burns. If my singing was a show, wasn't honest, it burns. If this was good, I was honest, I shared what I knew, that's all I did, it survives. When I get here, I'm rewarded for this. Not for getting to heaven, but for this. The crown of righteousness, different crowns. Then he waits to come with the Father. So that's a believer, judgment seat of Christ. What about the non-believer? The non-believer has no chance. Let's read that. Let's read what I just taught first. We're going to read the book of Thessalonians. We're going to read the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 11 to 17. This is what's going to happen. 1 Corinthians 3, the Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, and hay, it's stable, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. So let's just say, everything I did for this show burns completely. I get to the other side, I'm empty-handed. I'm at home, I'm in heaven, but I'm ashamed. But I'm there. What about the non-believer? Non-believer is not going to meet the Father. He's going to meet a judge. His judgment is totally different. The great white throne. So he exits, lands in hell. Time for judgment. Come out. Hell brings them out. If they died in the sea brings them out. If they were burned, they're brought back. God knows where every particle is brought back. And as when they're there, they stand before God, the judge. And he's judged according to what he did. He's being shown what he did. He's not going to be judged so that he can get to heaven. He's just being told, you chose to be in hell, and this is why you're there. Hell was not made for human beings. It was made for the devil and his angels. So he gets judged. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 15, the scripture says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, and which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Thou from hell is cast in the lake of the fire forever. So what does Paul say? He says in verse 11 of the scripture we read this morning, 2 Corinthians 5:11, because we know this, because I know that if you don't know Jesus, that's where you're headed. If my kids don't know Christ, that's where they're going. If my brother doesn't know Jesus, that's where he's going. And he will see me and say, that's my brother. But there's nothing I can do about it. If my students don't know Jesus, that's where they're going. So Paul says in verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's why we're here. If you don't know Jesus, we are pleading with you. We are persuading you. Sometimes with tears. Come to Jesus before it's too late. He loves you. The last verse in the chapter we read is chapter 5, verse 21. The scripture says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. He paid it all for you. If this was to crumble and you exit your house, where will you be the next second?
We hope you've enjoyed this podcast from Hope Point Church in Spartanburg, South Carolina. If you would like to learn more about us or to give to this ministry, please go to our website at hopepoint.org. We hope you can join us again next week.